love that part where it says that you're my soul, make you my social life. Amen? Wow, right? Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Amazing Grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you on this beautiful morning. We thank you for everyone gathered here today, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you do live within us, that your Holy Spirit does reside in us, Lord. And we thank you for every blessing upon us and our families. And we just pray that you go before us in this new year, Lord. And we ask that you bless our leaders, our churches, and our families. And we ask that you open our hearts and minds this morning to receive your word, to receive your strength, and to receive your mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. There's my sermon title. Whoever is not with him, Jesus, whoever is not with him is against him. Amen. That's one of the verses in the scripture today. And last week, we ended our message talking about answered prayers. And that whoever asks of God shall receive. And that whoever seeks his spirit will find when we're living our lives for Christ. Amen. But this week we're going to see who wasn't on Team Jesus. Amen. And that's the Pharisees, who in this text, they're called some of them in the crowd. Amen. They don't exactly say Pharisees, but we know they're the Pharisees. And in Luke's depiction, they just say some of them in the crowd. Amen. So our first verse says that Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. This meant that if the person was demon-possessed by a mute demon, then they would be mute as well. Amen? And when the demon left the man who had been mute, he spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But why were the people so amazed? Why were they so amazed? You know, other people at this time were performing exorcisms. Amen? There was a lot of people doing it, not just Jesus. And this man, he couldn't speak. So you see, in those days, they believed that in order to drive a demon out of somebody, that you had to get the demon to say his name. So they would talk to the possessed person and have him say the name. But this man couldn't speak. But nevertheless, Jesus healed him. Jesus healed the man completely from his physical issues, and he proved once again that he was sent from God. Amen? He was sent from God. He did the impossible, and the crowd that was there, the crowd was amazed. And that's why they were so amazed. But some of them, the Pharisees, said, by Beelzebub, or Beelzebul, same thing, okay? For anybody that's wondering. Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he was driving out demons. Now that name Beelzebub comes from a Philistine god that a Philistine god from that back in that time, and they called him the Lord of the Flies. Amen. So who wants a god named the Lord of the Flies, right? But he was considered to be the main demon, or better known as Satan. Amen. So they were using this name Beelzebub as they were talking about Satan. And they're saying that Jesus is casting out devils because he's in the same league as these devils. That's what they're trying to say, you know. And the Pharisees, it's because the Pharisees, they could no longer deny the work of Jesus. Amen? They saw the people were starting to realize this is the Messiah. Amen? They wanted to see more signs, but they knew this was the Messiah. And they didn't want to encourage him. Amen? So they came up with this, saying that he was doing it by the power of the devil. Amen? So they try to submit an alternative theory about his healing. And in the next verse, verse 16, it says that others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. So the ones that were starting to believe, they wanted another sign from heaven. But Jesus knew the thoughts of the Pharisees. He knew that they were against him, that they hated him, and they wanted to kill him. The Pharisees, and they said to him, and Jesus said to the Pharisees, any king divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub, or that I drive out demons by Satan. He was saying, it doesn't make any sense that you're saying I'm casting out devils through a devil. That would be dividing the kingdom of darkness. And why would the devil want to do that, right? The devil's smart. He's not going to divide his own kingdom, amen? And so when the people put down the Lord's actions, they usually say things that don't make sense, amen? When they're going against God or going against Jesus, they usually say things that don't make any sense, and that's what they're doing here. But Bruce wrote, said that Satan may be wicked, he says, in effect, but he is no fool. Satan may be wicked, but he is no fool. And Spurgeon wrote, he said, whatever faults the devil have, they are not at strife with each other. That fault is reserved for the servants of a better master. That's pretty sad to hear that. Amen. But what it meaning that, you know, we have to work together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. As the church, we have to work together if we're truly going to defeat the devil in the here and now. Amen. Because we know the war's already won, but the battle rages on every day. Amen. The battle rages on for all of us. And we got to stand together as the body of Christ. We have to love each other. We have to be here for each other. We're going to have some differences, and we're going to have some different beliefs. But the things that matter, those are the things. You know, there's the things that don't matter, we shouldn't. We got to stand together as the body of Christ if we're going to win these battles every day. Luke 11:19 says, now if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? Jesus says, right? Who are your followers driving them out by if I'm using Satan, right? So he says, so they will be your judges, meaning you're judging your own people. You see, there were many exorcists at this time, and they were casting out demons, and they were Jewish too. Amen? I guess I should have had my Bible out before I got up there, huh? Acts 19:13-16 says, speaking of other exorcists, amen, says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits try to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on all seven of them and overpowered them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Amen. So you see, there were many exorcists, but the demons knew the power of Jesus. The demons knew the power of Jesus. Jesus is saying that if I'm doing this by the power of the devil, then your followers and your sons must be doing the same thing as well. And if you're judging me, then you're judging your own family. You're judging your own sons. Then in verse 20, he says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God is here right now. When a strong man, he says, when a strong man, which is Satan, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. That someone who is stronger is Jesus Christ. Amen? He's stronger. Jesus has set free what Satan meant to keep in bondage, and he still does today. Jesus sets us free. As we walk with him, learn of him, and trust in him, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Amen? Just like the mute man, we will be free. And, you know, as a kid, we used to hear stories of the devil and monsters in the Mexican culture. Amen? And it would scare us to death, almost. But as Christians, we should never be scared of the devil and demons. But that's the chupacabra right there, right? All right, that was one of them, okay? But We should never be scared of the devil and demons when Jesus is living inside of us. Amen? We've already won when Jesus is living inside of us. And if the devil shows up, we're called to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Martin Luther said one time that the devil showed himself to him several times. It said that one time he even threw his inkwell across the room and it stained the wall of the room that he was staying at in this Wartburg castle. And that's a picture of the room there. It's supposed to be like the stain on the wall. Amen? But after a while, Martin Luther said that he got so used to it that one time the devil appeared to him and he said, "Oh, it's just you," and he went to sleep. Right? He's seen him so many times, he's like, "Just whatever. Leave me alone," right? Amen? Because remember, greater is he who's living in you than he who is in the world. Amen? And Martin Luther knew this. He knew that the Holy Spirit was in him, and he knew the Holy Spirit was stronger than the devil. Verse 23 says that whoever is not with me is against me. And that's my sermon title. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Amen? Whoever's not working with Jesus is working against him. Jesus was saying that if we're not with him, then we're against him. But if Jesus is stronger than Satan, then each of us have to make a decision in our lives. We have to make a decision. With whom are we going to live for? Is it going to be Jesus, who's stronger? Or is it going to be him, Satan? Amen? Norval Geldenhuis, I think you say his name, he said, in the conflict against the powers of darkness, there's no room for neutrality. There's no room. We're either on Jesus' team or off Jesus' team. Amen? We're either hot or we're cold. We will embrace one or the other. Amen? We're going to embrace one or the other. Jesus or Satan, intentionally or unintentionally. There's a show on Family Life Radio, I'm sure a lot of us have heard it, called Intentional Living. Intentional Living. And it stresses that we have to be intentional about living our godly lives. We have to be intentional about it. We have to choose. Every day, we have to choose. And there's even a song that says, an old Rush song that said, even if you didn't choose, you still have made a choice. We chose not to. Amen? Even if we don't choose, we have still made a choice. Are we for him or are we against him? And if so, where is Jesus in our lives? If we're for him, where is Jesus in our lives? Have we invited him into our hearts? Does he reside here in our church? Amen? We know he does. Is he seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for you? Where is Jesus in your life? If you answered yes, yes, and yes, then we cannot be at odds with our other brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the family of God. Finding fault with other believers and things that don't really matter is a very dangerous way to live for the kingdom of God. Because remember, Jesus says that if we're not with him, we're against him. And the Lord says he is always with us, right? Even to the end of the age. He is always with us in everything we do. All of us as believers are his bride. We know that, right? We are his bride. So if we're at odds with another believer, then we're against his bride. What do we do when someone's against our bride, right? Amen? We're against his bride, then we're against him. We're against Jesus. Jesus is telling these Pharisees and anybody else that's listening that if you're not for me, he says, then you're against me. Verse 24 says that when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Now, arid means, for those that don't know, means a dry place. Amen? Arid means a dry place. And when we're in that dry place without the living water of the Holy Spirit to quench us, that's when the enemy comes to attack us and distract us. When we're in that dry place, he knows. He's waiting for us. It's dangerous to be in that dry place. So we got to stay filled with the living water of the Spirit. And we got to stay in God's Word. We have to stay in God's Word. And if we do that, we'll avoid the demons in those arid places. Amen? And the rest of the verse says that if he doesn't find rest, if that demon doesn't find rest, if he doesn't find another place to live, he's going to return to the house that he came from. That's the important part to listen to. He's going to return to that house that he came from. Apparently, demons, they see vacant places or vacant bodies as an opportunity to inhabit someone and use that as a weapon against God. When we leave that space open, the demons want to come back and use us as a weapon against God. Verse 25 says that when the demon comes back and arrives, if it finds the house swept clean and put in order, what they mean by that is, you know, when you go shopping for a house, whether it's new or not, and everything's like perfectly clean, right? It's all painted and they swept the house clean. There's nothing in there, right? It's perfectly clean. What he's saying, he's meaning that if the house had not been filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's empty, it's waiting to be filled with something. That house is waiting to be filled with something. And are we going to fill this temple with something? Are we going to fill this house with something? And hopefully, when we do that, it's Jesus. Amen? Hopefully, we're going to fill this house with Jesus. And verse 26 says, because if we don't, it's going to go, and it's going to take seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and it's going to bring them with it and come back and live there. This is where the recovery comes in. Amen? Even recovery of the spirit, okay? This is for everyone. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. In the eyes and the minds of someone that's in recovery, and in reality, we're all in recovery. Amen? For someone that's in recovery that now lives for Christ, this is a sad but true reminder of the nightmare that is relapse. Leaving ourselves open for the devil to come back with seven other spirits that are, for that demon to come back with seven spirits that are worse and live in us. Because any of us can get clean and sober any day of the week. Amen? We can all get sober any day of the week, but without filling that void. And believe me, that's a giant void to fill. Amen? When we change our lives in that manner, that's a giant void to fill. Without filling that void with Jesus Christ, we're in grave danger. We put ourselves in grave danger because the flesh can take over very easily without the Holy Spirit living in us. Anytime. Very easily. I don't care how strong you are. Amen? And the Bible even tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful that you don't fall. I thought I was standing firm 10 times. I thought I was standing firm in my battle with drugs. But until I was born again, until I was ready to allow God to renew my mind, I was just a broken record. I was a broken record. I was a lost soul. And I had an empty house waiting to be filled with evil again every time I cleaned up until I found Jesus Christ. Because with Christ in my life, thank God, amen. With Christ in our lives, we can stand strong. I stood strong and God renewed everything about me. Well, not everything, almost everything. We're all a work in progress, amen. We're all a work in progress until the day of Christ Jesus. But the Lord does renew us. We have to let him come live inside of us. Reformation, I got this from somebody, I forget who it was though. Reformation without regeneration is a dangerous way to live. Amen? If we don't fill that void with Jesus Christ, there's a very strong chance those evil spirits are going to return. And it's going to overtake us again and it's going to be worse than it was before. Scripture tells us, amen? Ephesians 5:18, I know pastor's going to like this one. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, demons don't want to be around us. Demons don't want to be around the Holy Spirit. They don't want to be around us when we're filled with it. Demons don't like to be near God. Remember in Luke 8:28, it says, when the demon-possessed man saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Right? He said, please don't torture me. He begged them not to torture him. Demons don't want to be around God or the Holy Spirit. Amen? So as we recover, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We got to keep Jesus right here 24/7. We got to be on guard 24/7. Bill Crowder said, for us to be able to recover from our spiritual failings, we got to depend on the one who gave himself for us. We must be born again. The Christian life is not just about cleaning up your life. The Christian life's about living for Jesus Christ, believing on him, learning on him every day, and drawing closer to him every day. That's what the Christian life's about. Don't try to clean up your life unless you're ready to fill it with him. Because if you do, Jesus says at the end, you'll be in a worse place than you were before. That's why everybody's looking for Christ-centered recovery. We got people coming to CR every week from different recovery places looking for Christ-centered recovery. And I can attest to that. You know, I've seen demon-possessed people. I've seen them. I hung out with them. I walked with them. I lived with them. I've seen them. And I believe that I've seen demons being cast out of people too. Amen? And I think a lot of us have. But if we're to be successful in helping those that seem under some sort of possession, we have to be sure that they want Jesus in their lives. We have to speak to them. We have to speak Jesus into their lives. Because if that person does not want Jesus and that demon flees, we may be setting them up for a harder fall. We may be setting them up for a harder fall. And or even worse, we may, you know, possession. Amen? Again. Kind of reminds me of this, Christina, you'll like this one. This Indian gentleman that was drunk and sitting on our planter out here the day of our Christmas party. When I walked up to him, he was crying. And he was obviously under the influence of something. Maybe he was possessed. I don't know. But I do know that when I asked him if he wanted prayer and if he wanted help off the streets, he said yes. I know that. And so I thank God, you know, for the opportunity to pray with him. I thank God for the opportunity to get him some help that night. And hopefully, you know, we saved that man's life that night. Amen. And hopefully we helped him to save his soul that night as well. And I don't know what happened to him, but that's what we do. Amen. As Christians, that's what we're called to do. There has to be something in that person that expresses a need for Jesus Christ. And that's why as a church and as many different outreach ministries that we're involved with, we work only with Christ-centered recovery. Only with Christ-centered recovery, rehabilitation, housing programs. Some of the detoxes we got to deal with, but everything else is Christ-centered. Amen? And that's what we work with, because Jesus is saying that if we're getting people into recovery without showing them the love of Christ, we may be hurting them more than helping them in the long run. That's what we're called to do. You know that person that's standing in the park talking to himself and yelling at himself in a very bad place in his life? What that person really needs is Jesus Christ in his life. That's what they need. If we're going to help them clean out their house, we must also help them fill it back up with the Holy Spirit. Or it's going to be worse than the first. Amen? So invite them to church. Right, Christina? Invite them to church. Invite them to Bible study. Bring them to celebrate recovery. Lead them to Christ in some way, in some form. Amen? Verse 27 says, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." She was blessed. Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross yet, and people are already trying to magnify his mother. And this glorifying of his mother, it's been going on for a long time. Amen? It's been going on for a long time. Matter of fact, Pastor Rick just gave me a book about it this morning. And And of course, we all know that the Roman Catholics are the leaders in the worship of the Mother Mary. Amen? And other saints. And a lot of us come from a Catholic background. I do. Pastor Rick does. A lot of us do. Amen? And we're influenced by it growing up. And we can discuss it if you like, but I'm sure my sermon will tell us that where our church stands on this. Amen? This is essentially idol worship. This is idol worship. And we got to tell everyone. Amen? This is about saving souls. Amen? That's what we're here for. Jesus, she tells Jesus, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth." Yeah, Mary was blessed, and she was an incredible woman. Maybe the most blessed woman of all time, right? She gave birth to our Savior, but she was not above any other woman. She was not above any other woman. You know, Jesus replied, he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Meaning, people are more blessed just hearing the word of God and obeying it. Amen? Meaning, anybody. There's a greater blessing than giving birth to Jesus, and that's to hear the word of God and obey it. That's salvation. Even for Mary. Even for Mary. Matthew 12, 46 through 50 says that while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, I love this. This speaks to this sermon perfectly. His mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." And he replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Those, here are my mother and here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." That means all of us. Amen? Any of us. Jesus was saying that the most important thing to do is to obey the will of the Father. So let's not be magnifying any human beings above another. We are all equal in God's eyes. All of us are equal in God's eyes. So love all your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're the family of God. Amen? Because a house divided against itself will eventually fall. We have to be united. Always keep Jesus in your heart and your soul. And in doing so, you know, we'll never have to fear the devil. Just like Martin Luther, we ain't got to fear him, right? And lastly, to be truly blessed in this life, you know, we have to meditate on the Word of God. And we always have to obey it. This Bible's here, so this is a guide for our lives, amen? This has all the answers in it. This is a guide for our lives. Remember, we're either with him or we're against him. Amen? So if we choose to be with him, then are you guys all ready today to accept Jesus Christ into your lives? Amen? And allow the Holy Spirit to live in us? Amen? Or if you just want to reaffirm your faith with our Lord and Savior, we're going to say this sinner's prayer together. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's do it. Okay, one, two, three. Heavenly Father, I need you. I am humbly calling out to you, and I am tired of doing things my way. Help me to start doing things your way. I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Fill the emptiness in me with your Holy Spirit and make me whole. Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to love you. Help me to live for you. Help me understand your grace, your mercy, and your peace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Congratulations, family of God. The Lord be with you. Amen. Hallelujah.